Our scripture reading before the lesson today will come from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 17. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are in the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is.
Thank you, Ben, for that reading. I like this. I got to tell you, as I mentioned in the class this morning, the tape that you see is not crime scene tape. It's simply because we had loosened the bolts on a few of these pews, getting ready to do some work in here. We're going to do some ceiling repairing, replacing some of the lights to be more energy efficient. And then comes the carpet that we've been waiting for. So all of that's going to take place in the next couple of weeks. And for the next few Sundays, we're going to be meeting in the fellowship hall. So we'll really get to know each other well as we're all in the fellowship hall and worshiping God together. Good to see Karen here. Last time I saw Karen Anderson was at the USC Medical Center in the CCU unit. And she was hard to recognize because of all the tubes and wires and everything else that was coming in and out of her. And I spent a good part of the day there with her, just she, I, and the CCU nurse who was there, who told me she had gone through breast cancer and had, having difficult times, and she felt it was a blessing to her in that she was able to help other people going through the same thing. And it made her, she said, a more sensitive nurse to other people. And I think Karen was blessed to have her with her. While I was there, the doctors came in to examine Karen, and the nurse asked me to leave because of HIPAA. And then she turned to Karen and said, "Well, Karen, do you mind if they talk in front of this guy?" And Karen said, "No, that was fine." But she said it through tubes, and I kind of understood that. So I sat there and listened, and I got to say, the prognosis was not good. She had developed an infection. There was some concern whether she would ever make it out of CCU at USC Medical Center. And yet here, 1 year later, she's with us. God. Our God is an awesome God. He answers prayers. What surprises you about life? If I were to ask you that question or you had to write it down, what is it about life that surprises you the most? What would it be? Maybe something in your life happened that suddenly was almost miraculous in nature, and you're thinking, that was it. That's what really surprised me most about life. Or maybe you think, it's all the ups and downs. It's all of the challenges that we have in life that surprised me more than anything else. Billy Graham was asked that question. And you know what Billy Graham said? Two words. It's brevity. That's what surprised him about life. How brief life is. And even Billy Graham, who at that time had lived a very long and fruitful life, was still surprised that life seemed so short. And guess what? As we get older, we feel the same way, don't we? How is it possible that we just brought home our baby, and now our baby is expecting a baby? And before you know it, Milton Pauly, that baby will be bringing home a baby. That's how brief life is. And I think that that's exactly what Moses felt. Because the older we get in life, the more brief life seems to be. And the more concerned we are about whatever life is left in us in viewing eternity. Because eternity seems to be getting closer and closer and closer. Moses had spent 40 years living in luxury as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, living in the palace. He had everything that he possibly wanted there. And we know what happened to Moses. And he spent the next 40 years in exile, running for his life, wandering in the desert, tending sheep in the Sinai Peninsula. And then the following 40 years, he spent leading a group of Israelites, wandering around the Promised Land, bringing them out of slavery and not quite to the Promised Land. And it was during that time that Moses wrote Psalm 90, reflecting not just on the brevity of life, but the severity of God's judgment. And he said this in verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days. In other words, we need to be aware that we have today. We have right now. We have this very moment in time. And that's all we have. That's all that's been promised to us. That's all we... That's it. This, right now. Moses understood that. And then he concluded the psalm with verse 17. "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands." Yes, confirm the work of our hands. This repetitious plea shows that Moses was afraid that his life's work would not have amounted to anything unless God confirmed it as good. This passage that Ben read, written by Paul to the church in Ephesus, they're being encouraged to pay close attention to the way that they live. He's telling them to live wisely because the days are evil. I want us to just take a moment this morning to think about that phrase and a couple of points that Paul is making as he writes this letter to the church at Ephesians. And he draws some contrasts about living wisely and living unwisely. You see, wisdom is a huge theme in the Bible. The Old Testament talks about wisdom a lot. In fact, the books of Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Job have been called wisdom literature because they talk about how we are to live our life wisely. The basic meaning of the Hebrew word wisdom is skill. And what it is saying is, if we're going to live a wise life, then we must skillfully apply God's word to our lives. Let's just not read it. Let's just not listen to it. But we have to skillfully apply it to our lives. And at the root of this wise living is Proverbs 9 and verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So the wise person lives a godly life, and he takes God's word and he applies it, and he creates, with God's help in himself, a beautiful finished product. Much like God gave the instructions to Moses to plan for the tabernacle, and Moses took those plans and gave them to skillful workers, and they meticulously built this magnificent tabernacle based upon the instructions that God had given them, so God gives us the instructions to build a beautiful life to Him, piece by piece, day by day, word by word. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you, God, so that we can show you, based upon our love for you and what you have told us, a heart of wisdom. So to live wisely, we must skillfully apply God's word to our life. But we must also use every opportunity for His will. You know, when we think about time, we think about time restrictions in our lives. We're always basing everything on time. What time do we get up? What time do we have to be at work? What time do we go home? What time do we eat dinner? Time. Everything is time. How long is he going to speak? We got food back there. Everything is time. We're restricted by time. But the Greek word here for time that's being used in this passage is not time in the way that we think about it, but it means time in terms of opportunity. Redeem your time. Take the time that God has given us, those choice moments, those opportunities that He gives us, and use them to His glory. Think about this. Has this ever happened to you? You see someone in need. Maybe they're at the side of the road, or maybe they're looking for their car in a parking lot, or whatever happens to be. And you go right by him, and you, as you're driving off, you think to yourself, you know, I really should have stopped. I should have stopped to help that person with whatever it happened to be that their need was. But you didn't. You see, there was an opportunity that God gives us to redeem our time, to buy back our time by doing something good for other people. Amen. But so many times we don't because we don't think about it. We get so wrapped up in our own stuff. In our own lives, and we're so focused on other things that we don't use the time wisely, the opportunities that God gives us to His glory. And Paul reminds us in chapter 4 of Ephesians what the life of an unbeliever is like. They go to school. They graduate. They get a job. They get married. They work. They retire. And then they hope that their health is going to be good enough that they can go on that cruise and visit all these other countries they want to go or do all the fishing they can possibly do. And then they die. But then what? You see, what has all of that time that they have had in their life really amounted to? God gives us opportunity to use that time to His glory for the purpose that He gives us. But you know, a Christian, we can buy back that time in a lot of different ways. We can grab every opportunity that God gives us to grow and to know Christ and be conformed to His image. We know by the word that God gives us how we are to act, how we are to behave, how we are to help other people. And He gives us that opportunity in the time that He allows us to live on this earth to do just that. The Christian helps to rear his children to know and to follow Christ. And God helps us with that. Do they all end up following Christ as we'd like for them to? No, they don't. Sadly enough, they don't. But we never stop praying, do we? We never stop talking. We never stop being an example for them. And just as we see Karen Anderson sitting with us today, through the prayers of sweet Betty Capshaw, we see Russell up here leading singing. And through the prayers of godly parents, they hopefully will see their children once again sitting here worshiping their Creator with us. The Christian works to use the time God has given to him to bring others to know Christ and to grow in him. And he's a steward of all that God has blessed him with for God's kingdom purposes, investing wisely in opportunities to further the gospel around the globe. By living wisely in this evil world, he buys back opportunities for God's purpose. But there's a sacrifice. When you talk about redeeming something, you're buying something back. So there's a sacrifice that you have to make. To do that, you must say no to hours of TV or computer games in order to say yes to reading and studying God's Word. I mean, sometimes you have to practice discipline, self-discipline on yourself. And that's not always easy to do. Not always easy to do. You must say no to selfish activities that pull you away from God's kingdom purposes. You must say no to certain ways of squandering your money on worldly pursuits in order to say yes to eternal riches. To live wisely, you must use your time wisely. We need to think time is our time is a blessing. And as God's people, we need to think of ourselves as stewards of the time that God has given us and to exercise good stewardship in the use of that time. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't take a vacation. That doesn't mean we can't go fishing. Doesn't mean we can't play golf. But it does mean that we need to make sure that our priorities are in line with God's will for us. That's all that he's asking. Also, to use our time wisely, to live wisely, we need to understand what the dangers are in this life. And there are many. And we need to avoid them. Paul said that we are not to live as unwise people, but as wise, to redeem our time because the days are evil. But you see, unwise people are oblivious to the dangers that fill these evil days. Certainly all times are evil because the world has the prince of darkness out there amongst it. And you know, when I look back on my life and you look back on your life, certainly the days were evil. But I could turn on TV and I could watch something and I would see no sex scenes. In fact, you remember Lucy and Ricky? Remember Lucy and Ricky? They slept in separate beds, right? No profanity. There was no profanity on television back then. Now you can't turn on TV where you don't see either one of those. It's accepted. It's okay. In many of our cities these days, they have parades celebrating homosexuality like it's a wonderful thing. Like it's a normal thing. And it's not. These days are filled with evil. Psalms 1 and verse 1 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." But unwise people ignore such warnings. In fact, they really convert with them. They should pray not to be led into temptation, but they use temptation like it's a toy. It's something they can play with. It's not going to hurt me. But really what they're doing is playing with a loaded gun that could go off in their face any minute and destroy them spiritually. Unwise people adopt the world's relative system of morals and values. Everything is relative. But think about it this way. When you're around a bad odor for a while, your nose adjusts to the smell, And after a while, doesn't smell so bad anymore. Right? That's kind of what happens out in the world with Christians. We're around it for so long, it begins not to smell rotten anymore. Oh, we may not participate in it, but we're not necessarily against it either. We don't speak up against it either. And so, before you know it, living together by two unmarried people is okay. I mean, after all, they save money, and everybody's doing it, so it must be okay. You see, we let the world's relative system of morals and values interfere with our life and interfere in our wise living. Paul calls such behavior unwise and foolish. And unwise people live for temporal fulfillment and pleasure. You know, we saw in Matthew chapter 6, someone's not storing up treasures in heaven, which is where we're supposed to put our priorities, in things, eternal things. We get so concerned about building up our own material life that we forget about what's so important. And believe me, society is out there pushing us in that direction all the time. People that do that don't understand the will of the Lord. God wants us to avoid these things because they will dramatically affect our spiritual life. And finally, living wisely means we must understand the will of the Lord. Paul continues with another contrast. He said, "So then, because the days are evil, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And the will of the Lord is a navigation chart that tells us where we're going. It not only tells us where we're going, but it tells us how to get there. Can you imagine getting in a boat and setting off sailing somewhere, not sure where you're going, and not sure how you're going to get there, but you want to get out in the boat in the water and go? It doesn't work that way in life. We need to understand what God wants from us, what His will is for each and every one of us, and He makes that known. And what He's talking about in verse 17 is about not whether we go to a school or not. It talks about something much bigger. It talks about God's will for our life, what we're doing with our life. And He talks about that throughout the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1 and verse 1, He refers to Himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Verse 5, that God predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will. Verse 9, God made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention which He purposed in Him, being Christ. Then verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after counsel of His will. God's will relates to His eternal purpose for us in Christ. And that's the point. That's the point that He wants us to understand. And to live wisely, we must understand what that will is. It involves His ultimate purpose for His creation. All His creation is to fall under the kingship of Jesus Christ. And again, we see that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And we must apply the will of the Lord to our life. And we do that by submitting the lordship of Christ over all to our life. We can't glorify Him in our life if we reserve a certain part of our life for our own will, our own good, doing what we want to do, without respect to what God wants us to do. That's not submitting to the lordship of Christ. He needs to be Christ. He needs to be Lord over all of our life. Second point. We need to be committed. We need to be committed to Christ's church. God is working His eternal purpose through the church. And if we're not committed to that eternal purpose in the church, then we're not committed to what God is committed to. The church is referred to many times as the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. We are part of that bride. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, to the bride, to the church, are we just dating her? Or are we married to her? How deep is our commitment here to the Lord? How deep is our commitment to what goes on here in the Lord's body that meets here in Lompoc? What am I committed to? What am I committed to do? Is my commitment in line with God's will for my life? I need to be fully committed to His work here, to His church. I need to be committed to the harmony with other believers. We've talked about that in class just last Wednesday night. To be in harmony with each other, not just in this building, but outside this building as well. And we need to be committed to God's glory in the world by getting out there and helping God use us to bring others to Christ. That's what He's asked us to do. That's what He wants from me. That's what He wants from you. You see, if we're just living enough to get a good job, to pay the bills, to take a trip or two, and every once in a while, when it's convenient for us, we go to church, is that really the way God wants us to live? Is that living wisely? Is that the way that I'm living my life? We need to live carefully in this evil world and not be foolish. We need to understand that to live wisely, we need to use our time wisely to His glory. We need to know what dangers to avoid that are all out there, like pitfalls just waiting for us. And we have to understand what the will of the Lord is for you. Joni Erickson was a diver in high school. And her hopes were someday to be able to compete in the Olympics. But at age 17, Joni had a diving accident that paralyzed her from the waist down. That dream was gone. But Joni had Christian parents that told her that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And so what Joni did is she started a ministry about helping those who were faced with the same situation, that had been paralyzed through accidents and were no longer able to do all the things that they dreamt of doing. And she did that for years and years and years and lived a very fruitful and productive life in God's service. Recently, at age 66, Joni was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer. She'd been given 2 years to live. And she was interviewed and asked about this. "You've done so much. How in the world are you going to overcome this?" And her reply was simply this: "For many years, I had a ministry in helping those who were paralyzed. Now God has given me a ministry to help those who have cancer." You see, it's all in how we use the opportunities that God gives us. Life is brief. We know that. These days are evil. We know that too. But God gives us opportunities to use the time that He's blessed us with to His glory in very special ways. We need to do that. We need to make sure that it's a priority in our life. If you're here this morning and we can help you in any way in your life, we want to do that. That's what family does. And we are one in Christ. If you've not yet put on Jesus in baptism, that's God's plan. That's his only plan, to bring us into that body of Christ, which is the church. So if we can help you do that, or any other need that you may have, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.